Turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to talk about, we're going to go over the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 11 to verse 32. So there's a lot of reading up front here. So, and it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou hast never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry, and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could open up your word. Thank you, Lord, for this parable of the prodigal son. And Lord, may you just work in our hearts. Help me as I speak your word and speak what you have given me here. And just bless this night now. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have forgotten something really important? Like really, really important. Okay, I imagine all of us have. One thing that sticks out to me, and I was going to use an illustration about me losing something, but it didn't have enough, like I couldn't remember enough information. And so I got permission from Holly to use the story, because it's about her. So a couple of years ago, she had like a doctor's appointment, and this was when Chris and Jewel were here. Jewel Jamin, you guys know Jewel Jamin. At least Nano and Bambi and Jill should know her. So they went to like a doctor's appointment. It was in Hartford because Holly had an appointment, and so they went together so they could talk and stuff. And so they go to the appointment. After the appointment, they go to the car, and the car doesn't start, and that's because somebody left the light on and the battery died. Well, another thing is that we had a Wana that night, and it was like, I don't know, 3 o'clock, and they tried to get somebody to jump the car and it just wasn't working out. And so I had to go to a Wana with my two kids, and we didn't have dinner because I can't cook. So it is what it is there. Anyway, it was memorable to me, obviously, and it was memorable to her, and she said, yeah, that's fine, you can give the story. So that was that. But there's one thing I'm really terrible at remembering, and that is birthdays.
So there's one I always remember, and that's my wife, so that's good. But there's other birthdays from like siblings. I always forget them, and it's always the ones you don't want to forget that you forget. And so I do my best now to put it in a calendar because I'm never going to remember it. But really what this has to do, anyways, is the fact that so we all have things that we should remember. And looking at this passage of Scripture, what it's reminding me of is that it's a good passage to remember our relationship with the Father and how it came about, okay? And there's three points in time in our relationship that I want to talk about that we should remember. And the first one is the ruining of our relationship. So the ruining. If you look at verses 11 to 16 of Luke chapter 15, we're talking about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the first thing he does is he wants the inheritance, okay? So it starts the parable. There's a father, he's got two sons. The younger son's like, give me the inheritance. Like, it wasn't the thing that normally happened. I mean, it could have happened. That's why he asks and it happens. But he's the younger son. He's not even like the older one asking for the inheritance. But anyway, he requests the inheritance, and the father gives it. He's gracious to give it. But the next thing is 2 days afterwards, the son just decides, I'm leaving. I'm going. I'm getting out of here. And he goes into a far country, and he lives a sinful life. He chooses all of that. He wastes all of his money, and then a famine happens, and he's hungry at that point. He doesn't have any money. He spent it all. And a famine comes into the land. And now he's like, well, how am I going to fix this? I have no money. I think what I'll do is I will live with another person in that country. And I'll serve him. I'll do what I can. That way I have somewhere to live. And I won't be hungry. Well, he does that. And guess what? He's still hungry. He doesn't have any food. So it was useless that he even did that. And so, in connection with that, he wanders into sin, and then he worsens his state. He worsens what he's doing with works. He thought, maybe I'll just go and I'll work, and I'll be able to get food. And it doesn't happen that way. And then he wakes up to reality. He says, I like how the Bible puts it. He came to himself. It's just to me, it's such a funny thing. It's like you're doing all these things, and then all of a sudden you realize, what am I doing? I like this makes no sense. So anyway, that's the prodigal son, and what I want to do is kind of parallel us with the prodigal son. And so for us, we had a life before Christ, and God had mercy on us. So we lived. Obviously, we had breath. We had free will. We had all these things. God let the sun shine on us. But our relationship was ruined by sin, okay? Because obviously, if you look at Genesis and you see Adam and Eve, before sin happened, they had a relationship. And that relationship became ruined by sin. And it says, all have sinned, Romans 3:23, all have sinned come short of the glory of God. Our sin ruined that relationship. We also see in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So our relationship has been ruined. And going back to the prodigal son, like he ruined his relationship with his father by going out and spending and living a sinful life. We ruin our relationship with our father when we sin, and then we try to do our own things. We try to fix stuff our own way. And in the end, what does it do? It brings about suffering. Okay? Just like the prodigal. He wanted food. He wanted to get fed. And he went and did these works for this citizen. And he still ended up being hungry. And we still end up being hungry spiritually because we're going and we were doing all of these things on our own. And it just brought suffering in the end. So many of you know my testimony, but I'll emphasize the fact that I didn't get saved at a young age. I got saved in my teenage years. And in that short time spent in my life, there was nothing but suffering, especially as I got into the teenage years. But I grew up in a broken home. I grew up as a teenager and was depressed and tried to do all these things in my life. And it was all sin until I heard about Jesus. But I do, like, there are people, obviously, many of you, who've gotten saved at a young age, and that's good, because you didn't have to deal with the suffering that some of us had to deal with. And I praise God for that. But doesn't excuse any of us, in fact, from looking and being and remembering the fact that our sin, even at a young age, our sin ruined our relationship. And obviously we're born sinners because of the sin of Adam and Eve, but we also sinned. Okay, so that sin ruined our relationship. And thinking about it, we have actually a good mix of people who got saved at a young age and people who got saved later on in life. And I was thinking about it, and it reminded me of Corinthians, the Corinthian church, in a good way, not in the bad way that you think about the Corinthian church. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 real quick, look at that. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11, we'll read that. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." So, here it talks about the fact that it's got this list of these sins that people commit. And then it says, "And such were some of you." And I have to say myself that I was one of those people. Okay? And it didn't say all of them. It said, "Such were some of you." And that's talking about the fact that there were some that they got saved as kids. And there were some that got saved out of those things. And then it says, "But ye, in general, are washed." So praise God, even though I got saved at an older age and somebody got saved at a younger age, we all got saved, right? So praise the Lord for that, because it says that ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we've all experienced new life in Christ. And that brings me to the next point in time that we should remember, which is our restoration of our relationship. If we look back at Luke 15, 17 to 24, we see the prodigal son comes to the realization that he can't live in the condition he's in anymore. We kind of touched on a little bit of that. And that he would go back to his father's house. He knows he has sinned and is unworthy of being his son because of all that he has done, and is willing to be a servant. That way he can receive his father's mercy. He starts his return home, and as he is still a great way off, his father sees him and runs to him with compassion. Though the son was willing to become a servant, he doesn't even get the opportunity to offer himself this time. So we see he kind of talks to himself, and he says, "This is what I'm going to say." And then he says, "Make me as one of the hired servants." Well, when he gets to his father and he starts talking, he doesn't actually get a chance to get there. The father is already like, "Put a robe on him, all right? Get him the best robe, reclothe him." Like, because obviously he came, he looked probably a mess because he's been in a pig pen for a long time. But the prodigal son's father is restoring him as a son. He's not like, "Okay, go be a servant." He restores him to that position. He gives him the best robes. He gives him the best of the best. He clothes him. And on top of that, he says, "We're going to have a feast because my son was dead and he's alive again." And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. And this is my favorite part of the parable. It's just so amazing. Verse 20, I think it is. Yeah, verse 20 is really my favorite verse in this whole thing. And it talks about how the father had such an enormous amount of love and compassion on this son. Okay. It says he saw him a great way off. Like, he was already hoping and hoping and hoping to come back. He saw him. He must have looked probably 100 times. Who knows? But he was looking and hoping he would return. And he saw him. And he said, it didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter. Like, food was cooking. I don't know. Anyway. But he ran. There's my son. I'm going for him. And it's just such a great picture because I think about it myself. I'll get to it again probably at the end, but it's amazing. It's an amazing verse to me. It touches my heart. But like I said, the Father does the same thing to us. When we put our trust in Him, He has compassion on us and He runs to us. If we look at Psalm verse 40, Psalm 40. A very familiar passage to most of us. We'll read the first three verses. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So God picks us up out of that pit and restores our relationship. So what we cried out, God picked us up out of that pit and He restored our relationship. He put us on a rock. He established our goings. He put a new song in our mouths. We were restored, fully restored, as if we were His own son. He adopted us. That's what the Bible teaches. But if we look at, yeah. So He changes us like He changed, like the Father changed the prodigal son's clothes. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So again, we're changed. We were changed. We were restored. We were changed. And it's just such a wonderful picture there when we see the prodigal son given new clothes, and we are given a new life in Christ. We've been restored to a right relationship with God, and when that happened, heaven celebrated, like the father and servants did when the prodigal son was restored. Luke 15:10, it's a verse right before our first verse. Says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So, as we think of the Father and the servant celebrating, we can move on to our last point in time that we should remember, which is the reactions to our relationship. As we've seen already, the return of the prodigal brought about a feast where the Father and servants began to be merry, but not everyone was happy. So I know, if we look at verse 25 to 32, we see the reactions of a few people. So we got the servants and the father, they decide that the father wants a feast. They begin to be merry. The brother comes and he sees dancing and music. And he sees the people excited. Something's going on and he wasn't aware of it. And so he asks the servants, and the servants are excited. They say, your brother returned. And your father wanted to celebrate, so we killed the fatted calf. We're celebrating because we received him safe and sound. He came back safe and sound. And yet, this doesn't make the brother happy. In fact, it enrages him. He becomes angry. Okay? And so angry to the point, he's like, I'm not going to the feast. I'm just going to go off. And yet the father doesn't ignore him. The father, it says, entreated him. So, and I put in my notes, he edifies the son. So he teaches the older son because the older son's angry. He says, you didn't give me all these things. And I've been here the whole time. I didn't waste your inheritance. And he said, it was a good thing to celebrate because your brother
was dead and is alive again. He's lost and is found. He returned, and now he's changed. And it's a good thing to celebrate. And he teaches him in gentleness, and he teaches him the necessary reason for why this was a good thing to rejoice over. And as I mentioned earlier, after we got saved, heaven rejoiced. And I'm sure others were happy too, but not everyone was. And this is my focus on this portion, because I remember when I got saved, not everyone was happy. Okay, obviously Satan's not happy when we get saved, but not everybody in my family was happy, because clearly they're not saved. So it's kind of a shame. I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to go to my friends. Every friend I had then completely distanced themselves from me. And that's a good thing. I mean, at the same time, it's a good thing. I've seen some of them since then. I'm able to, like, talk to them. I've been able to witness them. But they were like, well, you're kind of weird now. And some of them were like, you're just doing this to please people. And I was like, no. Some of them said I was doing it to please Holly specifically, because some of them knew I was dating Holly at the time. But it wasn't the case. I wasn't doing it to please people. If I was doing it to please people, I definitely wouldn't have done it that way, because my parents weren't very happy about it. And there were so many fights. I tried to, at least. I got baptized. It wasn't here. It was at a different church, but I got baptized. And I didn't tell my parents. And I kind of went back and forth on if I should, but my mom was, at that time, was just super, diligent in her religion, and they apparently, the church apparently afterwards sent a card to our house or something, and I had some, like, baptism cards in my Bible, and she apparently looked at them, and, yeah, so she asked me, and I did lie, honestly. Didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense, because my name is clearly on the card, and she said that, and I was like, no, those aren't mine. Yeah, that didn't go well. Because it was a battle, okay? It was a battle, it was a struggle. I fought multiple times. I almost got kicked out of my house, all because I chose to follow Jesus. I chose to be baptized. I chose to continue to follow him and to grow in him. And not everybody likes it when you're saved. And this also reminds me, I mean, Jesus is talking about the Pharisees here. Really, it's kind of like he's teaching this parable. And they weren't so happy with all the sinners coming to Jesus. Okay, the publicans and sinners are coming to him. He was teaching them. And they're like, why are you teaching these people? Like, these guys are sinners. Well, that's the reason why he's teaching them. That's the reason why he went to them, is to save them. And you know, sometimes as Christians, I feel like we can get that way. We could get that way in the flesh. Okay, I'm not saying anybody particularly. It never happened to me. I'm just saying this is a possibility. And that's one of the reasons why we should remember this portion. Because we could get caught up in ourselves. I know I can get caught up in myself, okay? So I won't say it to anybody else. I can get caught up in myself, and I can say, I've been serving quite an awful lot, and you guys are rejoicing over this guy over here, and nobody said anything to me. Like, nobody gave me a fatted calf. I don't get it. Like, so I know I can live that way in the flesh, okay? And so this is a good reminder for me. If it's a good reminder for you, great. You don't have to tell me that. But I'm not pointing it at you. So, but ultimately, remembering this can encourage us to rejoice when people get saved. When somebody gets saved, it's a good thing. We shouldn't just be like, what? So what? What? Really? But it should also discourage us from being that guy, the Pharisee, the older brother. Okay? As we think about these 3 points in time, I just feel like the remembrance of these things should stir our hearts. Okay, it definitely stirred mine as I started reading, I started thinking back. And maybe while you're remembering, maybe one of the points, like the ruining of your relationship, sometimes I think about boy, I was like, the things I did, I think about the ruin, like how I ruined, how I sinned against God, and I just think, wow, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. You know, I'm so thankful God pulled me out of that pit. God saw me afar off and he ran to me. He didn't sit there and say, what are you doing here? Like, praise God for that, right? It could be that you're thinking about like the restoration. You could be thinking about God's mercy and how he restored you and how he changed you. Like, there's so many times I've said, I can't do that. And yet, God could do it and did do it in my life. I think I've told the story of Awana like multiple times where I've said, I will never teach children. I told God that, and guess what? God put a burden in my heart to teach children. So God can do the impossible with me. He can do it with you. And it's good to remind ourselves of these things, because if we don't, we're just going to be cold-hearted and blah. Like, who cares if somebody gets saved? Who cares if this happens? Who cares if somebody comes back to church? That's what we'll be like. And that's why it's good to remember it, because it'll stir us up to continue to go and do things for God. And it's that relationship we have, because even in that relationship, God knew that I needed somebody to lead songs, and he sent Jack to do it, and I didn't even know, and praise God for that, right? But if you don't have that relationship, you need that today. You need that today. You need to trust in Jesus Christ. You need to believe that he died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. You need to put your faith, your trust in him today, and your relationship can be restored also. Okay? Don't put it off. It should be done today. But, and that's because our relationship with the Heavenly Father is the most important relationship we can have. We shouldn't forget that. We should never forget that. And so we should have a right relationship with him, and should remember that relationship to keep our hearts stirred and glorify God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could just read about you and reflect on our relationship with you. Lord, thank you so much for just saving us. Lord, thank you for just all that you've done in my life. And Lord, just bless the remainder of this night. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.